Hello, brothers and sisters, again. It's the weekend. And if you're in Louisiana, we had a cold spell. Now it's warm. It's like summer again. Welcome to Louisiana, right? Well, of course, I've been here in Louisiana for all. I was born and raised in Louisiana for, you know. So you think I would be used to it by now, but not really. And one thing I found, the older you get, the more things ache and hurt, and you kind of can tell when the cold weather's coming in. But I hope everyone out there has had a good week, and having a good weekend. Hope you're enjoying your family around this time of the year. As we fastly approach Christmas, I hope everybody had a good last Sunday message at your church, or if you're following me on this kind of like a podcast or MP3 player, I hope, you know, the message that's going out is all about Jesus, right? It's always about Jesus. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about a preacher that gets up there and preaches the word of God. It's all about Jesus and the words that come out of our mouth. If we're, well, we could pray, prayed up, stayed up. We make sure we got all our, we're leaning on the Holy Spirit when we speak. Every word then that proceeds out of our mouth is the word of God. How beautiful are the feet that preach the good news, right? You know, this, of course, when every time I do a series like this and when it's dealing with spiritual warfare, the speaker or the preacher, he, you know, the attacks increased or will increase on you and tear you down a lot. But, you know, regardless of how I'm attacked by the enemy to give this word out to whoever, if it's just one person listening, it affects their life in a way that they go out there and they talk to one person or two people and they affect that one person. It's a domino effect, right? It spreads. So the enemy is always not happy. That is Satan when we're speaking or when I'm teaching on spiritual warfare. Honestly, I don't really care how the enemy views it. It's all about God and the message that needs to be out there into this world. It's sad that most of our pulpits don't preach on spiritual warfare, and the enemy has infiltrated the walls of the church to create a fear within the walls to keep preachers from preaching about spiritual warfare. And it's very important that we understand that when we say I do to Christ, we move from the playground to the battlefield. It's a war. The Christian life is hard, but it's also hard from our perspective. But when we put it in God's perspective, His eyes, and within the storm, the joy that we can feel within that storm, and I've struggled with that over the years. I still struggle with that today, but you know, I'm wrapping my head around it slowly. You know, God's preparing us for the end times. But I'm, you know, and, you know, it's like a you know, Apostle Paul, when he was in prison and he was in through, and he wrote some of his best work in the epistles, the prison epistles. And when he was in prison and he had that joy, you read the epistles and you like, this guy was in jail, right? He had joy. That is J-O-Y. That is Jesus over you. So within the hardness of it, we know we have a salvation that will last forever. We know that we have a place, a heavenly place, waiting for us. That's beyond our understanding. So whatever hell that you may be going through in this life, whatever pain that's ripping you to shreds, we realize that we have a hope beyond this world, and that's really not the message that I was starting out on. But you know, that's how the Holy Spirit operates. There's somebody out there that needs to hear that. And today, like we've been doing, you know, and you can follow this podcast all the way up to the our MP3 player up to the Invisible War. That's when this series starts off. This is the last part of the series. And what I've been doing is I've been reading through Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And I think last time we went to, I was feeling, I guess, frisky, and we went to 20. But, you know, the last part of this is going, I'm going to end it with prayer, which is the most important to me, one of the most important part of the whole armor. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And then you can recap through the other ones, because we went through each piece of the armor of God, which is very important to understand that we have these pieces available to us. So if you guys would just bow with me so we can pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, just thanking you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for the sacrifice. Sending your Son to die on that cross for us, that we can live if we accept that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice. It should have been us on that cross, Lord. He took all our sins on him. He bled the blood red. The pain was real. He felt it all. Because he loves each and every one of us. I pray, God, our hearts are open to that. That we realize when we say I do to Christ, yes, this life can get hard, but it will not compare to what you have prepared for your children. You say that in the words of God, that in the word of God, that eyes haven't seen, ears have not heard, the things you have prepared for us. We can only imagine. And I pray that whoever's out there going through whatever they're going through, Lord, we lift them up to you. We pray, Lord, that you be with them in their time of need. I pray that you be with your humble messenger as I, the message that you laid on my heart to give to the audience out there in the internet world, Lord, to reach whoever that may just need to hear, that might have been hurt by the church, that might not be done with the church, that might be fed up with established religion. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just guide my words. I pray the Holy Spirit just takes over every word I say, and that your will be done, not mine, yours. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have Ephesians 6 here, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take up on you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand before, having your loins girt with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your foot shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, when you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereon with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Now, part of this message, the last part of this sermon series, I'm focusing on prayer. Prayer is very, very important. I know as a kid, and you don't see this anymore, I wish churches would go back to this. I would walk into a church, and as a kid, and hear wailing and a mourning. And it's like these people, you know, they were there all night praying and mourning, and in such travail. Man, that, and when you walk in, you feel like the Spirit, you feel there's something there. As a kid, I really didn't understand that was the Holy Spirit, right? And man, those services could really be awesome, because when the Holy Spirit falls, the preacher is given the words to say to the congregation, and the congregation is powered by the Holy Spirit to go out there and to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. You know, I was looking at several things, and I came across this story, and you know, I always like to take a little time to read it to you guys. It's based on a missionary, and he was in Africa. And this guy, he would travel by the bicycle through a jungle to a nearby city for supplies. It was a 2-day trip, so he would come in the jungle overnight. And he had always made the trip without incident. But only one day when he arrived in the city, he saw two men fighting. One was seriously hurt, so he treated the man and shared Christ with him. And he went on his way. And the next time the missionary traveled to the city, the man he had treated approached him. "I know you carry money and medicine," the man said to the missionary. "Some friends, I follow you in the jungle that night after you treated me. Knowing you had to sleep in the jungle alone, we waited for you to go to sleep, planning to kill you and take the money and drugs. As we started moving to the campsite, we saw 26 armed guards surrounding you. And there were only 6 of us, so we knew we couldn't possibly get near. So we left." And when the missionary heard this, he kind of laughed. He said, "That's impossible. I assure you, I was alone in the campsite." But the young man pressed the point. "No, sir, you was not the only one. Wasn't the only one who saw the guards. My friends saw them too, and we all encounter them." Several months later, the missionary attended a home church in Michigan and told of his experience. And then a man in the congregation interrupted his presentation by jumping to his feet and saying something that left everyone in the church stunned. With a firm voice, he said, "We were with you in spirit." Missionary looked perplexed. The man continued, "On a night in Africa, it was morning here, and I stopped by the church to get some material for the missionary trip. But as I was putting on my bags in my trunk, I felt the Lord leading me to pray for you. It was extremely strong, a strong urge, so I got on the phone and I gathered some other men to come to the church and pray for you." Then the man turned to the rest of the congregation. "Well, all these men who's prayed for me that day, stand up right now." And one by one, they stood up. And guess, guys, it was 26 of them. 26 men prayed for this missionary, and there was 26 protection around his campsite. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is awesome. A communication to Jesus directly. You know, a lot of times when we're praying, we don't think God is listening, but God is listening. I don't believe in that word they say, unanswered prayers. I don't believe in unanswered prayers. There's yes, no, and maybe. And of course, the no part, we don't like hearing no. But I guarantee when Jesus tells us no, it's for our own good. And when he says maybe, we have to wait. Sometimes we have to wait a long time. Sometimes we have to wait a short time. But man, when you look at prayer throughout the Bible, and Jesus modeled prayer for us all through the Bible, you could see when he comes on the scene and when he's choosing his disciples, you look at the 4 Gospels and you put those together. He prayed before he went. He prayed before he chose those disciples. And he prayed all the way through the Bible. I encourage y'all to just read the Gospels. They're just so beautiful. And study them. The words are so beautiful. And the messages are vast. And he prayed all the way up to the Garden of Gethsemane, if I'm saying that right. My tongue got tied there. Gethsemane. And up to his horrible death, that's on the crucifixion of the cross. At this last, and when he was up there, he prayed, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Just think about that. If our minds could really grasp, he was up there, and he just got flogged, meaning he got literally, his flesh was dangling from his body, blood was fusiously coming from his all kind of parts of his body, and he had to carry that cross, and then they nailed his hands to the cross and his feet, and they stuck him on this cross, and through all that he still prayed for us. What love, man, what love is that? You know, I look at the four gospels, and one of the things that really comes to mind is what we call, I've heard it called the Lord's Prayer. I really call it the Disciples' Prayer. And I grew up as a child remembering this prayer. And it's in, one part of it is in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. That's Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And in these verses, just listen to what Jesus is saying here. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, O Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Beautiful, beautiful prayer there. And, you know, the thing is, the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." And if you really think, why were they asking Jesus to teach them how to pray? It was because they seen him. They seen him praying. And they seen the results of his prayer. You know, I want to say, you know, to all of us that out there, and especially if you have children, and you pray with them, or they are, you know, they see you praying, not just for show, but they really know that you're praying for them, and that they see your lifestyle is different than everybody else. They will want that. When they feel the anointing and the Holy Spirit, I know as a child I felt that. When I went to church, I wanted it. But today, while it's sad, it saddens my heart. I don't say this with anger. I mourn over this. I walk in many churches, and the lack of the Holy Spirit and the prayer is missing in our walls. And these messages like this, I mean, they rattle my heart. They break me. I know I'm really nobody. But I see that, and I pray that the church comes back to a prayer, especially in America, that a prayer, and not just something that's formal, something that comes from the heart, a travail, a longing to know you better, to know Jesus better, right? And the disciples wanted this. And Jesus basically tells them, this is how you should pray. He tells them, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When he says, "Hallowed be thy name," he's saying, "I'm holy. My name is holy." And he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." You know, our eyes are on the prize. We know one day we will see Jesus. And we always should long for that in our heart. That's that joy. That's that I'm his child. But now that I'm down here, I have to realize I have something to do. I have to spread the gospel. And then you go on to verse 11. It says, "Give us day our daily bread," meaning our provisions for the day. And he will provide those, right? And they said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." I mean, we should always have a forgiveness heart to forgive. And of course, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For that is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. And that verse 13 can get a little confusing. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God doesn't purposely or intentionally tempt us. He don't do that. It's contrary to Scripture. Basically, what this is saying, if you look at the contents of the four Gospels and you read all the way up to Revelation, you will come to this conclusion emphatically. We will encounter things in our life. We will have temptations within our life. That is the nature of the beast, right? But in those time of temptation, we should understand that we have a Father that understands, because He was tempted in every way. He sinned not. When we're in those moments, if we just lean on Him and give it over to Him, He will deliver us from that temptation. He will deliver us from the evil. And then, of course, it ends with, "Thy is the kingdom, power, and glory forever." Meaning, He wraps it back down and says, we need to recognize, even through all the troubles that we're going through in this life, if we're a child of God, in the end, there will be a reward beyond our understanding, and that is heaven. That's powerful, right? That's powerful. Prayer is important, especially in this life, and there's real struggles that can knock you to your face, and you're grasping for something and you can't get anything. And I know I've been there, and sometimes I still can't get there. Thank the Lord I'm learning slowly how to just give it to God. And in this conclusion of Ephesians and the armor of God, prayer is part of the whole armor. Because we're in a spiritual war, that is composed of spiritual battles that we will fight on a daily basis, that's invisible, of something that we can physically see. This battle is nothing new. It started at the Garden of Eden. You see, brothers and sisters, one time this world was perfect. God created it. It was beautiful, perfect. It had no plagues. You didn't have this extreme heat or cold. It was just right. Think of a day you walk outside and it's just right, right? It's not too hot, not too cold, but you stay outside all day and you just relax. You're bringing in, you may hear the birds chirping and you're like, "Ooh, wow." And I know that don't happen too much in Louisiana, where it's just kind of just right, but the garden was, and you had in the garden, you had animals, all these animals. Guess what? They didn't eat meat. They were plant eaters. Meaning, if you look at lions, they ate fruit. If you look at I like watching documentaries on animals and the animal planet, and I like watching this one documentary. It's on the hunt, and it just kind of shows these animals out there going to get something to eat. They're hunting another animal, predator, prey, and I'm gonna tell you, they ain't looking for no plants to eat. They're looking for meat. But it was never like that. It wasn't always like that. You see, when Adam and Eve, they were in paradise. Then Satan entered the serpent, and the serpent tricked Eve, and then Adam. And when this happened, paradise was lost. Or the fruit. We say apple, fruit. I mean, the most visual pictures that you see today is the apple, but it was a fruit, piece of fruit. And we got to know this fruit had to be very appealing. And they committed this sin. And this is when the curse of this land happen. That and you, we feel it. I know when I do. When you wake up in the morning and you know your knee is hurting, your back's hurting, and you get up, you're like, oh, I don't want to get up. I want to lay back down in bed. I don't want to get up and go to work. Everything's hurting. You know, one thing I found that I do in the mornings is get on my knees, regardless of the pain that I'm feeling. My mind may be all scrambled up, and lay everything at the feet of Jesus that morning. Pause. Get on your knees. Talk to God. Tell Him that you love Him. Pray for strength to endure the day. All the many temptations that are waiting for us, because we can experience so many during a day, and it's only Jesus that can help us overcome these temptations, right? To overcome and be victorious through prayer. To when the battle is raging, when the depression is increasing, when anxiety is throwing you so hard you can't think straight, when the suicide thoughts are tearing you down and you just can't take it no more. When you have a family member that has crushed your soul and you just can't forgive them. When it seems like everything is not going any other way but down the drain. This is life. And we fight these struggles every day. The world is flawed, it's cursed. And even when you're a child of God, you still have to encounter these things. But the thing is, when we take it to prayer, that's something we have at our toolbox. Now, we've got to realize we shouldn't just pray when something's going bad. We should pray. You know, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, the first part is, hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. First thing we should do is recognize you are holy. I love you, God. I know I hurt, but one day this won't, you will come back. I will hurt no more. Thank you for that. Thank you for sending your son to die on that cross. So one day I can be with Jesus, and I will be at peace. I will not have all these struggles. And I will do this forever. I may, if I'm lucky, I may have, you know, a lifespan of an average adult in this life can vary from 80 to 100, maybe less now. And that compared to eternity is nothing. Is nothing. We may feel like it's something, 80 years or less. But if you can think, and forever and forever and ever, that's thousands of thousands of thousands to millions of years. And that goes way beyond that. But you see, brothers and sisters, this is just not what we say. I say church needs, we talk about the lost. And basically, that is people who have not accepted Jesus into their life. They have not truly opened their hearts to the gospel of Jesus. They don't have that promise. I'm not here to sugarcoat the truth, because I love whoever's listening to this, and I love you guys too much not to tell you the truth. And even though it devastates my heart and it tears me to pieces, not everybody's going to heaven. Regardless of the popular preaching out there, is everybody's going to heaven. There's many ways to heaven. There isn't. Even through Jesus' words, His words, He spoke on hell more than anybody. He said many will not go to heaven. Many will go to hell because that's the easy route. There may be people that got it and like, hey, yeah, I got this. God sent His Son to die for my sins. And I got that. And I love that. That's awesome. But hey, I love my sin right now. And I don't want to give up my old life. You know, part of salvation is when you say I do to Christ, you are willing to give up everything for Christ. You're willing to pick up your cross and follow Him daily. Meaning the struggles that we have in life, we're willing to suffer it and we're ready to push forward, keep pushing forward. Glory to be God. Everything that's old is new. If you're hanging on to the old life, You have not been regenerated. You have not became new, as Paul says. Jesus said, you're not born again. Therefore, if you're not born again, you are not His. So you don't have the promise of heaven. You have the promise of hell. When Jesus comes into our heart, He changes everything about us. Yes, we will still struggle with things in this life. That is growing up. But the thing is, as we grow as a child of God, we're not satisfied with falling down, as we will fall down. Because that's part of the growth. Meaning when I mess up, I'm not like, oh, I'm okay with that. God understands. I'm going to go do it again. And I'm going to keep on doing it again. And I'm going to keep on doing it again. To that is dirty grace. And that is the, and many people in our churches are practicing this. Regardless of what they say, they're lying straight to the preacher's face. And that's sad. Because you're not hurting the preacher. You're not hurting us. You're not hurting. You're hurting yourself, because one day there is a payday. Jesus will look at you. He will see your heart. He sees you 24/7. He knows exactly what's in your heart. When you wake up on Sunday, you're like, oh, you know, I don't really need to go to church. I got this. I don't feel like it. Oh, I don't feel like reading my Bible. You know, or when Monday rolls around, yeah, I did my Sunday, now I'm good. I can live like the devil the next 6 days. Nobody will know the difference. God knows the difference. Jesus knows the difference. A true believer of Christ will not practice that sin and say they are saved. They'll say they're saved. It's contrary to Scripture. Contrary to Scripture, because once you're a child of God, you cannot live in that sin without being in grief. I know that's not a popular message, but it's the truth. And when you truly are His, when you mess up, you repent. You repent of your sin, because the Holy Spirit that resides in you will not allow you to live in that sin without extreme conviction in your heart. And the thing is, the other part is that the conviction also compels you to go out there and speak with somebody about the gospel. We go many weeks, and we're not supposed to do that. Jesus tells us we're not supposed to. We are supposed to speak to people within our workplace, within everywhere we're at Walmart, in the grocery. We're supposed to speak with people about Jesus. If you haven't done it this week, and that hasn't, if that has not convicted your heart, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with your heart. You need to check yourself. Because this is for real. This is real. Jesus is getting closer and closer to His return. And the Scripture tells us, even though it breaks my heart, He said, many are called, few are chosen. I have called many to come here, but they say, I'm not going to do it because I love where I'm at. And yes, I go to church on Sunday, but that's okay. I got everybody else fooled. You don't have Jesus fooled. And He tells us in that day, in Matthew, in 7. If you read that, it's some of the saddest scriptures when it comes to professing Christians. There's a difference from professing and possessing. And that's a good message. I'm going to write a sermon on that. Heard that off of, I was reading a book. Other than the Bible, the Bible's primary. I read the Bible first. And of course, I have all these other books, reading. And this author said there's a difference from professing and possessing. And I'm thinking that's true. Professing. He was talking about, if you have he didn't use Michael Jordan, but if you say Michael Jordan, many people know Michael Jordan, the NBA, right? Or he was NBA, and he was doing a commercial on the one of those little cars, one of those smart cars, right? They're so small. And Michael Jordan's like 6'5 something. And he's like, I drive this every day. He's promoting this car, right? and this is a reliable vehicle. Blah. It's hard for me to believe that Michael Jordan is driving a smart car. One, I don't think it would be physically impossible for him to fit in there because he's so tall, right? I can profess I'm doing it. But if he came up there and he had this, you know, say this big Lincoln car, you know, and it has plenty of room, and he said, I drive this. This is, you know, I can really believe that he drives that. He is possessing what he's saying. And today we have many Christians that's professing, not possessing, and they're not hurting me or their preacher. They're hurting themselves, because in the end, they'll have to answer. We are all going to have to answer to Jesus. I'm going to have to answer to Jesus. You're going to have to answer to Jesus. Only difference is I know I'm a child of God, and I'll have to answer in the point where I could have done more for him, but that won't affect my salvation. We got to get real, brothers and sisters. We got to. You know, in my life, I struggle with prayer. At times, I still do. I think it can be hard. I'm getting better at it. Because Jesus is still working on me, he's still working on you. And, you know, life gets hard, life gets messy, life gets busy. We're flooded daily with many distractions from work. It's life, right? And, you know, if you're a teacher, you know, you hit writing lessons to... try and keep control of your classroom from children running around, climbing the walls, jumping ceilings from home. If you're a stay-home mom or dad, you got to keep your child or children fed, clothed, shelter over their heads. You know, you got to keep your bills paid. You know, Satan, his demons are expert on keeping you distracted. And within the spiritual war, the battles, we don't need to forget not to pray daily as part of our spiritual warfare. Pray without ceasing. You see, when we pray daily, we're talking to Jesus. That is a direct line to him. And I want you guys to take these last few thoughts of this whole sermon, the key points here. Prayer is powerful. Prayer gives you strength. Prayer provides peaceful within the storm. Prayer should be the first thing we do in the morning, and we should do it all throughout the day to closing of the night. Because when we walk out the doors in the morning, we're hit with many distractions, many temptations. Because this world can get you busy. We need to stop, pause, and remember to pray. That morning, throughout the day, and at night. Because the devil, the enemy, does not want you to pray. So I want to get this. Pray daily. If you don't get nothing else from this message today, pray daily. Make it a habit for your life. Make it part of, it just comes natural. As I wrap this up, bow your heads with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, just thanking you for this message. And even though the words are hard and they break my heart, somebody has to speak them. Because I fear many of our brothers and sisters professing to be something they're not. And I pray, Lord, you see their hearts. I can't see their hearts. You know what's going on in their lives. Lord, I pray, Lord, don't let them put it off too long, because we're not promised tomorrow. I pray, Lord, that it's just tomorrow, that the preachers preparing the sermon today or throughout the week, or you know, they that you give them the words to say to their congregation, Lord, the preachers, the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers. Give them what to say to their members or to the people in their church that needs strength from the Word of God. I pray, Lord, you just, as Sunday ends and we go out into the world Monday and throughout the week until next weekend, Lord, you keep us, you keep our minds focused on you, that prayer stays into our hearts, that our armor is strengthened throughout the day because the Holy Spirit that reigns in us, we pray to, and it strengthens, it shines our armor against the attacks, the temptations that the enemy has for us. Because there's power in prayer. And the power in prayer is Jesus. And when the focus is on Jesus, there's nothing that can destroy us. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I love you guys. Hope you guys have a good rest of Saturday and a wonderful Sunday and a blessed and fulfilled week. And remember, tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus.